Change your mindset.
Burnout continues to be an unmanageable workload result of a whole lot of things that happen in the office. In fact, according to SPI Research, latest benchmark survey, an annual study, my company sponsors only a small portion of services. Organizations say they have comprehensive visibility into critical business functions like utilization. Burnout is a serious issue. And to help us understand a little bit more about that is Stanley Beckett, author and consultant at Change Creator SA. Stanley, thank you so much for joining us. Welcome. Are you good?
Good evening, Tabu. Yes. Welcome. Thank you for having me on the show tonight. And yeah, welcome. Good evening to you and all the listeners there.
Burnout is a two-way street. I'm keen to know about that, Stan, simply because every time someone is burnt out, they assume that it's just their side of things. Why is it a two-way street?
You know what? It's interesting that you say that. I'm gonna actually say it's actually the other way around. Most people who are burnt out actually blame the other side.
Yes.
And that's why I bring it up. Very few people actually look at themselves and say, I am the cause of burnout. You know, so let's take the two sides of burnout, right? And why it's so important to talk about this from both sides. Because if you've got employees of an organization, and this is what usually happens, when you've got employees of an organization looking at themselves and being burnt out, being exhausted, being cynical, disengaging from the work, and the stats around the world show that this isn't on the increase and rapidly on the increase, these types of stats. What can be happening is if you only look at burnout as one side, and remember I said to you, we don't always tend to look at it from our side, we tend to look and say the cause is outside of us. What happens is people tend to say I'm burnt out because of, and then usually the finger will be pointed at the employer and their place of employment. So understand what I'm saying tonight. I'm not saying that workplaces do not create conditions for work for burnout. That definitely is the case, right? But I'm saying it's not solely the workplace that is the problem. Same way and this is why it's so important to bring this topic to light, because we need to understand it. Awareness of how serious this problem is. Awareness of what a pandemic it is becoming, not only here in South Africa but worldwide. And I just want to say why I say that is because I'm noticing it's only January going into February. I'm already finding people are burnt out. I'm already finding people are exhausted.
Already.
We're only in the first month of the year. It's really becoming more and more problem. So on the other side, if we see burnout as a me problem, so in other words, it's an individual problem, then the business is also in the wrong, because that's what happens in many businesses. They'll look at a person, they'll say, maybe Tabo is burnt out. And they'll say, it's Tabo that's got a problem. But they don't take responsibility and say, what inside of our workplace is creating an environment where a person is burning out? So what I'm saying tonight, and this is why I'm saying it's a two-way street, is because I do not believe we can really create a difference in the experience people are having unless both sides of the equation are willing to stop pointing fingers and willing to both take responsibility. So what I'm saying tonight is when a person is burnt out, and burnout is the severe condition you find yourself in, there's really three states that lead to burnout. Combined, they'll lead faster to burnout, but on their own, they can also lead to burnout. And one is exhaustion. There's a lot of people that are exhausted at the moment. They're tired. I mean, we've had, and I'm actually going to mention to you the six things that cause burnout. And I'm going to say, make the argument tonight also, that is why so many South Africans are leading towards burnout, because the conditions for us are actually very severe at the moment.
Yeah.
But there's exhaustion. There's people that are cynical and disengaged. They just don't trust the government and their organization, and there's people that are just finding no meaning, and all three of these lead to burnout.
Yeah.
So I want to discuss
why
this is.
Listen, I think there's a bit of a connection problem there, Stanley. Let's try to fix it, because We are not getting a clear line from your side, but let's try to sort it out. But I hear you, and I want us to get into that. And I thought I would ask of you to somehow define burnout for us so that we move with a premise of universal understanding, although it may differ from one situation or one person to the other, but there would be some core commonalities that guide us on burnout, because as you're saying, it's already Jan, but some people are already burnt out. What causes that? You would assume that people are from holiday, they're well rested, and it's been 2 weeks or 3 weeks of work, so why the burnout? Are you able to maybe help us understand first some of things that we can agree upon that would constitute burnout? Stanley? Okay.
So when we hello, can you still hear me?
I'm battling.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm battling, Stan, but because your line is crackling a little bit, let me try again. I don't know if you heard my question.
Okay, I don't know if you can hear me now. Yes, I did. Can you hear me properly?
Now it's much better. The floor is yours.
Okay, I'm hoping that it'll stay better now. Right, so first of all, what is burnout? It's really, you know what, I want to, it's a difficult question to answer because there's 12 stages of burnout. You know, if you're looking for one definition, most people only think of burnout as the final stages of burnout. So in other words, when you are having a complete mental, physical, emotional breakdown, and you're not able to function properly anymore, that would be like the final stages of burnout. But there's actually very many different stages. And, you know, the research around the world shows that on average in any organization, 20 to 30% people are already burnt out. And COVID has largely contributed to that.
Yeah. Stanley, I want to do justice to this conversation. Let's try to reach you perhaps on a different line, or else it would be very, very troublesome to continue because it does break along the way. So we're not doing proper justice to this very important discussion. So let's just try to get hold of you again, and maybe the line will be a little bit better. 20 minutes after 10 o'clock, you're on 702. I'm Thabo Shole Mashau, and we are discussing the issue of burnout. Stanley Beckett is the author and consultant at Change Creator SA. He's arguing that if you are burnt out, it's not just your problem, it is also the problem potentially of your employer. And often you would be an employee and you would blame your work environment. You'd say, I'm burnt out because of where I work, and they do not give me sufficient rest, sufficient time. I'm under pressure always. I'm dealing with 10 projects at a time. But Stanley, in what he will expand on in a little while, will tell us why he believes that it's a two-way street. How can we deal with it? But also, let's define it. Let's truly define burnout, and so that we have a common understanding. At times, it could be that you're just physically tired and a little bit of rest over the weekend, and you're not going to some chisanyama there and a restaurant and this, that, and the other, and sitting at home and resting may help. Is that burnout at all? 22 after 10, and I see that Stanley has joined us. I'm hoping this line will be much better. Stanley Beckett, you there?
Well, I'm hoping you can hear me better. So I'm on the phone now instead of on the Zoom call.
Yes.
It seems like we do it sometimes have challenges with connections on Zoom. So I'm hoping you can hear me better yet.
It's much better. It's much better.
Okay.
Yes, excellent. Yes. Yeah. I'm all quiet. It's all yours.
So can I continue where I left off? So what we need to understand to answer what burnout really is, to identify it, is that burnout is more than just that final stage of burnout. If we take all 12 stages of burnout, we actually realize that something to 90 to 95% of people are on one of the stages heading towards burnout. So if I can give you an example, right, and maybe you can measure yourself on this and ask yourself, is this me? The first stage of burnout is what we call the having to prove yourself stage. So this will happen when somebody's new in a job or has a new position, and they want to prove themselves constantly. You tend to stress more. You tend to put yourself under a lot more pressure. So you tend to work harder. And that is one of the stages that starts leading to burnout. The second stage is why I say most people are finding themselves there, especially because of the habits we've learned over the COVID period, is what we call the switch off stage. So a person's not able to switch off from work. So even if you maybe switch your computer off at like 5 o'clock in the afternoon, you're still answering emails at night. You're still looking at your WhatsApp messages to see if there's anything that's come in. You go to sleep thinking about work. You wake up thinking about work. On the weekend, you're with your family, but you're not 100% there because you're thinking about work. And then stage three, and I'll stop it there. Stage three is when a person is sitting and they start not doing the basic needs, the things that are most important. So in other words, they might not sleep as many hours as they should because they're always working. They might get to 4 o'clock in the afternoon and they realize, I didn't eat lunch today because I was so busy. They might say, I can't remember the last time I just went for a walk or exercise because I'm always at work. And when I'm not at work, I'm just so tired. I get home and I just fall into bed and sleep. So if you look just at those three stages, it's really difficult to define exactly what burnout is because it's more than just the final stages. Burnout is that state when we are not functioning optimally. Burnout is that state when in the four areas I always talk about, spiritually, mentally, physically, or emotionally, you are not operating at your peak performance. And that's why I say when a person is in one of those four states where you're either physically tired all the time, or you are mentally not able to focus, or you are emotionally in a very bad space, you're always feeling negative, you're always feeling fearful, you're always angry. I mean, there's just so many negative emotions we feel when we're in burnout, or when we're spiritually in a bad space where we just don't see any hope for the future, we just don't believe in what we're doing anymore. All of those things are symptoms of burnout. So burnout, I would say, in my definition, is one when those four cups, any one of those four cups, are running on empty. That's a good sign that you might not be in a full burnout, but you might definitely be heading towards burnout.
And the danger for me as the employer is that I will see the effects of burnout affecting productivity, as a result affecting the bottom line, which I'm always chasing. How do I then identify from my office that indeed Stanley is bent out one way or the other, and one of his cups is empty?
You see, once again, that's a brilliant question. That is exactly what we are looking at driving, is an awareness, because that's what it takes. You know, I find it interesting that in our wellness programs in organizations, we focus, and it's well-intended, but sometimes it misses an important part, is that many of the wellness programs focuses on physical wellness. So when they have wellness days, we'll look at things like your cholesterol level, your heart rate, all these things, and they're important, right? And we understand why we measure them and why we make our employees aware, because that's obvious to see, right? We can see when a person is getting overweight. We can see when a person is not looking healthy, because we're trained to see those things. But we're not as well trained to see mental health issues. We're not as well trained to see when people are suffering from burnout and another source which leads them to mental health issues. And this is such an important topic in my heart, because this is why I started researching the burnout. It's because I had gone to so many funerals of teenagers who had taken their lives, and they were just burnt out. Their cups were just empty. The signs were there, but the parents didn't know what to look for. Even the teenagers themselves, you would hear from people, you would understand from talking to people, didn't know how to express what they were feeling. So to ask how we would know this is really an important question. This is probably one of the most important fundamental first questions, is how do we recognize in ourselves and in our colleagues that someone is mentally exhausted, that someone's cup is full, that someone is heading towards burnout? Because many times that person, when you get to stage six of the 12 stages, you withdraw socially. You can't even express to someone how you're feeling. So it becomes a very difficult space. So to answer, there isn't a very quick question, but if we had to go through each one of the cups, there are what I call warning-like signs that a person can look out for. Mm. And I think it's important for us to start becoming aware. That's why we have these conversations. If we can start becoming aware and we can start identifying in each other, because I really think that's the only solution right now. There's not enough therapists in the world to help us all. We need to start helping each other. But in order to do that, we need to start asking the exact question that you asked now. How do we start becoming aware of it? So if you want to and you really want to go into that question, I'm very happy to give you some of the symptoms that we need to be looking out for.
Please.
But it's very important that we realize that these are not all the symptoms, and they might indicate some other things. But I see them as sort of like warning lights in your car. You know, if your fuel is low, you get a warning light to tell you that you need to fill up. Mm. In the same way, we have warning lights that tell us that our cup is low. So let me give you an example, emotional cup. Let's start there. What do we need our emotional cup for? Our emotional cup is really what we draw on to overcome the inevitable disappointment we find every day. We get a lot of frustrations, we get a lot of ego blows, we get a lot of things that don't work out the way we want them to. Every time something like that happens, we draw from the emotional cup. Also, we draw from that emotional cup when we lose a job or we have the death of a loved one. I was listening to your introduction saying, you know, why aren't we marching about the high rate of death in the township areas? I have a friend who's there, has been planning to come back for a month, but every week she's got a different funeral to go through. And, you know, when you go through things like that, you draw very heavily from the emotional side of you, that would I call the emotional cup. So let me give you an example. How would you recognize when your own emotional cup is running very low? Well, it would be things like, for example, you'll feel physically tired and drained of energy all the time. Or you'll feel disconnected from people. You know, you'll walk around and you just struggle to connect to anybody. It's a very lonely place to be. You'll feel you're on an emotional roller coaster all the time, going from feeling joy to feeling depression, and you can't even explain where the emotions are coming from. You're just on this roller coaster. You find it very difficult to express how you are feeling to yourself and to others. And you'll see your senses just feel dulled. You know, no food doesn't excite you. Conversations doesn't excite you. There's just nothing that seems to excite you. Everything just seems like a lull, like a sort of a dull, dull moment you're going through. So if you can identify to what I'm saying now, and, you know, I always tell listeners on the show, if you're listening to this right now and you can tick a box on any one of those that I've just mentioned, it's a very good sign and a warning light that your emotional cup might be low. Now, if you are not doing something to fill that cup up again, it's going to lead towards a state of burnout. And that's why I'm saying burnout doesn't only just come from the workplace, from the work environment, but it comes from these factors we're mentioning as well. And if you're only looking at it from a workplace and saying that's I'm burnt out because I'm working too hard, which by the way is only one of six main reasons why people burn out in the work environment, then you're not taking responsibility for yourself. You're not realizing that my emotional cup might be low, and that's exasperating the burnout. So there's an example. Like I said, it's really a detailed thing to go into all the different areas, but that's just an example of how you can identify in yourself and in others if you experience people who are always tired and drained of energy, who seem disconnected in conversations. They seem to go from happy to sad. I mean, you can see this in your children, right? If parents are just observant, but the problem is many times parents come home and they're so tired themselves that they don't see this in their kids, and days can become weeks, can become months, and you don't realize the kid is leading more and more and more to this mental disorder. So it's these kind of things that we talk about when you ask the question, how do we see this in ourselves and how do we see it in others? We've got to start educating people on what to look out for.
Mm. And we had some of the causes, Stanley. I'm just wondering if I'm an employer and the employee says that they're burnt out, and it could be as a result of the workplace environment, one, and I accept, as you've said, that there are a number of issues. It can't just be a workplace. But I, as an employer, my control, or at least most of it, is around the work area, the office, the work environment, and the official duties and responsibilities of the employee. Outside, I've got little control as to what he does over the weekends, who he hangs around with, his spiritual life, and so on. Then if I were to bring it to the area that I have better control over, which is my workspace, how do I make it a little bit receptive, a little bit conducive for burnout not to exist, and a little bit conducive for them to feel a little bit better, and recognizing that I can't fill all the cups, but the cup that is here, I can try to at least effect some influence upon it.
Great question, because it now lends itself to the other side of the equation. The first thing is, we've got to stop stigmatizing mental health and then to realize we're all suffering from it. Probably more, even your higher level management in organizations, they don't want to face these things because there's such a stigma around it. There's this fear that if I admit that I'm suffering from a burnout, or I'm exhausted, or I'm one of the other things around burnout, that I'm showing weakness. So we hide it, but what happens is that we become so disengaged, detached, cynical in that state, that we then don't allow other people to show it as well. So what businesses can do, the first thing they can do is to have these conversations and to make it okay to talk about these things. We've seen in our talks that we have where we'll have groups of people who will be quiet in the beginning, but within 10, 15 minutes, everybody's starting to talk. Why? Because they see everybody else is feeling the same way I feel. It's okay to talk about it, and the only way we can move ahead is by facing it head on. Then businesses need to start educating themselves on what is it that causes burnout in the workplace. And they need to strive. One of the values, one of the goals of a business should be to create a less toxic environment where burnout can happen. So it's kind of like, I love using the analogy of a canary. And up until the 90s, they used to take canaries down into coal mines to see if the air was toxic. I mean, if a canary either died or was showing symptoms that it wasn't doing well in that environment, they knew that the environment was toxic. And it didn't help that you got a tougher canary and sent it down. The air toxic would affect the tough canary as much. It might take the tough canary a little bit longer, but it would affect the canary.
Yeah.
You see, and this is what the message we want to get to businesses. It doesn't help replacing your staff all the time and saying we need to find tougher people who have more resilience and all those things. Those things are important, but if the environment is toxic, then all you're doing is you're just creating a machine where people get burnt out and have to be replaced all the time. So one of the things the businesses can do is realize that it's not going to go away. It's only getting worse. And we need to get to the realness of the situation. Because I, for example, was speaking to a business last week where the HR manager would say to me, I want to deal with this because I'm scared people are just going to be coming in droves saying, I'm burnt out, I need 2 months off. You know, for example. And I'm saying, but that's not dealing with the problem. Instead of being afraid of dealing with the problem, rather say, how do we create an environment that is less toxic? We're never going to create an environment that's burnout-free. That's really difficult to do.
Sure.
But can you at least work as an organization with a goal? How do we create an environment where people are less likely to burn out and suffer from exhaustion? And I would say that's the first step, is to be able to take responsibility. But the employees must also take responsibility to say, what are we doing that's creating that's like sort of adding to our own burnout.
It's 23 minutes to 11 o'clock. If you've just joined us, welcome. And if you've been listening through, feel free to participate in this discussion. Burnout, how do we deal with it? Stanley asserts very clearly that burnout is a two-way street. It's January already, but a whole lot of people are feeling the effects of a burnout. People are tired, emotionally drained, and otherwise. Are you one of those those people. Perhaps you've got a question that you want to pose to Stanley Beckett, who's my guest. Stanley Beckett is an author and consultant at Change Creator SA, and he's joining us on this feature, Change Your Mindset feature, and we are just discussing the matter of burnout. What can be done? What causes burnout? How do we deal with it? Because some people die silently inside, and we realize only much, much later that actually this person was burnt out already. They were not here with us. And Stanley has spoken about a couple of cups that have to be filled in order for us to at least be above the level of just existing, but living. And I'd love to hear your views on it. It could be that you experienced burnout last year or some other time in the past, and you want to share your experience. Feel free to do so. It could be that you've just been going on. You feel tired, but you've been going on. No holiday, nothing. It's been 3 years, and you're putting your head down, and you're thinking, I'll see what happens. Maybe Stanley may have some answers for you under this discussion. So feel free to give us a call. The number to dial, 011-883-0702. That's 011-883-0702. Alternatively, you can send us a text message or a voice note to 072-702-1702. 072-702-1702. Please make sure that the voice note is no longer than 60 seconds if it has to be that long. But I am very much keen to hear from you. And once again, the issues of stigma should be done away with. We should speak freely and openly. It's about our health. And as Stanley has said, not just physical health, mental health also counts for something. It counts for something. So let's make sure that we are present, and we ask him whilst he's still here. I can only detain him for the next 20 minutes. Beyond that, he's out of reach. So make use of his presence with us. 011-883-0702. Stanley, now, I mean, we have just been looking at it from a workplace situation. There are external issues that you can bring into the workplace that may add on the load and reduce and take away from the cups that you've spoken about. It could be that an employer is trying to do everything possible, but could it be that external issues outside work may also cause you to reach the level of burnout at work, and the effects could be felt by the office?
It's actually so much bigger even than that. You know why I say that? I'm going to share with you what are the six things that lead in the workplace to burnout.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to quickly share with you why I say South Africans are fast heading towards burnout individually, because all six things are affecting us externally and internally in the work very much. So let's take the first one quickly. The first thing is, and I'm going to ask if you would agree with me, South Africans today, worldwide it's the same, but I'm talking about South Africa because that's where we live right now, right? South Africans today are working much harder just to earn the standard of living they did 5 years ago. So many South Africans are working harder and harder just to keep their heads above water. So that's the first thing that leads to major burnout.
And I agree with it, by the way. I agree with that fully.
Awesome. Yeah. Would you agree with me? Well, let's go through each one. Would you agree with me the second thing? And I'm hoping our listeners will listen to this as well, because this is also showing how big the work that's ahead of us. The second thing that leads majorly to burnout is loss of control. I'm arguing South Africans are feeling more out of control every year than what they do. You know, as we're going ahead, with the Eskom, I'm living close to an area now where the cable, not only do they have load shedding, but they've got cables that are constantly being stolen. They spend 3-4 weeks out of every week without electricity. That's a huge loss of control. You know, we're hearing about the economic situation worldwide that's getting worse. People are feeling they can't control their finances anymore. People are getting stressed and feel they're not in control of their relationships and their families the way they used to. It's like more and more and more we're feeling out of control. So that's the second thing that leads to burnout. So we've got those two as big factors.
And I agree with that as well. Indeed, we do. Indeed, we do. You don't have control over load shedding. Stages change unannounced at times. Even if it's announced, you've got no control over it. You must just swallow it up as it comes to you. Definitely.
Right. So that's the second thing already. The third thing is communities. Our communities are becoming more and more dysfunctional. You know, people are having less and less patience with each other. We are supporting each other less because everyone is like getting into this, I just need to look after myself. I've just got to get through today. So in many ways, our communities are becoming more dysfunctional. It's the third thing that leads to a burnout when I feel I can't trust people around me. I'm talking about our leadership in this country. People are so cynical towards the leadership, so cynical towards our future, the way we're being led. We can just look at the marches and the things that are happening today. It's just a small sign of what people inside of their hearts are feeling all over the country, a worry about the communities, a worry about those people that are leading us. So that's the third thing that is very highly, energized at the moment, that's leading towards burnout. The fourth thing that leads towards burnout is rewards. And I think people are working harder for less pay. So we're feeling like we're getting less and less reward for the effort we're putting in. You know, we need to be working harder just to keep things going, but we're not necessarily getting more money in our pockets. The money's getting less. The expenses are getting higher. So we feel we're not being rewarded for the effort we're putting in. The fifth thing then is that we talk about that leads to burnout is fairness and respect. We don't feel as citizens we're getting the respect we deserve. We don't feel, many people in workplaces don't feel, I get the respect, as you were talking about, when we still have so many issues with racism, with women disempowerment. I'll speak to HR directors of company who are women who will tell me, I'll sit around the table and it'll be me and 12 men. And I'll say something and everybody will sort of dismiss it. And then 2 minutes later, somebody else, one of the men, will say the exact same thing. And everybody will say, what a fantastic idea. You know, it's these little moments of disrespect that we feel are affecting us that leads to burnout. And then the last one is values. You know, if your values are not aligned with the leadership of the organization, and in this instance, it's the leadership of our country, I would argue that many people feel that the values of the leaders in our company are not aligned to our own personal values and what we believe they should be leading and the way they should be guiding us. I mean, all of these things I'm mentioning are all things that lead to severe burnout. And again, I'm saying that as South Africans, I think we experience all six of these areas very negatively at the moment. And that is why, we're not even talking about the person stepping their foot into the job. We're talking about these are the factors people are facing every day, just away from the job. Now you put them in a work situation where they're experiencing these factors in the job as well. Then you wonder why so many people are starting to complain more and more and more about heading towards burnout. It's a really severe thing that needs to be addressed.
You know, we've just received a text message here on 0727021702. It's not signed, but it speaks to exactly what you have said. It said, TSA, I think we have overexplored burnout. Why not? Organizational citizenship behavior, work engagement, work involvement, and stress, etc. And, you know, all those things that you've just mentioned, Stanley, I agree with them fully. And I'm just wondering, do we have different levels of tolerance to each of those as individuals? And could it be that some individuals are able to do or carry more load than others, and yet they keep going? And it doesn't mean that it's okay. It's not an endorsement for that to continue. But it could be that people are sick, yet they keep moving one way or the other because perhaps they don't even recognize that they are living in a dark space.
Yeah, well, I'll start off from the end and go to the beginning. Yes, that's a big problem. It's very many people don't realize that what they're feeling every day is not what we always call the ought-to-be state. you know, it's kind of like they've been living that way for so long that they don't realize what it feels like to feel, and I'll use this word carefully, to feel normal. They only know how it feels like to feel tired all the time. They only know how it feels to feel like you on this roller coaster and you're feeling disconnected. That's the state they know. So yes, that is a big problem. Many people don't even realize they are in a state of exhaustion, burnout.
It's not an issue at all. And I'm just saying, if we agree that a lot of people can exist in that state.
So what I was saying, to answer your question there, yes, there's more to that. We take first the four cups, right? You've got some people where their cups are already full, so they are emotionally strong, they're physically strong, they're mentally strong, they're spiritually strong, and they consciously or unconsciously are doing things to keep their cups full all the time. So they know when I'm feeling emotionally down, I need to go for a walk with my family, or I need to take a day off from work and spend it with friends or family. And that usually fills my emotional cup up. So they're aware of what it does, so they keep doing those things. But unfortunately, many, many people, like I said, stage three is where you start ignoring these things that are keeping your cups full. Many people in that stage are working so hard they don't get to fill those cups anymore, so they burn out faster. Then you also get what we talk about often on the show is grit. Some people have a high level of grit. You know, grit is made up of five characteristics. It's courage, conscientiousness, passion, perseverance, resilience. Some people have a very high level of resilience. They can come back very quickly from setbacks. Some people have a very high persistence factor inside of them. They learn through life to be tough. So you get some people that are very high on the grit scale, and you get some people whose cups are very high. And they seem to be able to handle the factors we're talking about tonight much better. But it doesn't mean that they cannot also eventually lead to burnout. You know, you can have a person that everything seems fine, and I'm sure we can all think of somebody in this line. Everything was great. They seemed to have everything in life. Everything was going well. And suddenly one day everything just falls apart. Right, so it's important to know how to measure these things. I want to say that, Tobo. It's really important. We live in an age of science. We live in an age where we've got the technology available. And from our side of Change Creator, this is what we work on, is how do we help people to self-measure, self-help, and self-regulate? Because, like I said to you earlier, there's just not enough therapists in the world to help us. So I think it's very important for people, even if you're listening to this and you're saying, but I'm fine, I'm feeling good, everything is good on my side. But measure it. Make sure, because how many healthy people physically believe they're fine, but when they go for a checkup, they realize there's a major problem they weren't aware of? The same thing in the mental health space. So I might that answer the question is yes, some people do handle these things much better. But I would say even those people that appear to be handling the things very well should always be asking, but can I check and let me make sure that my cups are where they should be? Because if you don't, that day is just when they're going to hit you, when suddenly everything can just fall apart all at once.
That's much of a concern. That's much of a concern. 011-883-0702 and 072-702-1702 is the text line. And this one came through. It says, hi, I'm in agreement with Stanley. I worked for a certain company and was extremely happy with the culture of the company, with employee wellness being at the center. They go as far as giving all employees 7 days wellness leave. I worked for a big retailer, TFG, which left me, my husband, and some of the close friends resigning due to opting to be unemployed than dying from depression and suicidal thoughts. My husband ended up at a certain company for 2 months and ended up having a panic attack on my way to work. Hence, I decided to leave that company. Values are just on paper. Stanley?
Yeah, that's so important. I tell people this all the time. You know, are the values of the company really being lived? Values, you know, you go into companies, they very proudly have their values either written on the wall or written down somewhere. But the truth is, those aren't the real values of the organization. And when people, that's just one of the six areas, when people's values are misaligned with the values of the company, it absolutely is going to lead towards stress, towards exhaustion, towards cynicism, detachment, and towards burnout. And, you know, yes, it's, I think that companies really struggle to understand how to deal with this problem. I think in that text that you, that message you just read, for companies, the solution, and I'm going to invite you to see, can you see what the problem is in this? For many companies, the solution to people suffering from burnout and to help people with this is to give them more leave from work. Why must that be the solution? So what you're actually saying is we understand that we are causing the stress to people, so our solution is to help people stay away from the organization more. It should be the other way around, that this giving people leave from an organization shouldn't be the solution to helping burnout. What you should rather be doing is focusing your energy on how do we create an organization that isn't toxic, that isn't getting people to a point where they have to leave an extra 7 days out of their leave just to be able to recover. You see, so that's what the problem is. And this is, I think, highlighting a really big problem. Is that for many companies, they don't know how to solve the problem. So the only thing they think is let's send people away from where we know the problem is in the organization. We need to be creating organizations where people don't need 7 wellness days. We need to be creating organizations where people are happy to be at work because they thrive and it's a non-toxic environment.
And I know I'm asking you to write a master's thesis by this question, but how do you achieve that work environment? Because at times it could be that from your office, you are doing all that you can. You've got an open door policy. You smile. You ask everyone is okay with a cup of coffee in your hand. You don't make a big deal when someone may be late or you're understanding when their child is sick. But amongst themselves, it could be that workers or colleagues are toxic amongst themselves. And it just may be an issue. And I'm just wondering, how do you go around making sure that in its entirety, the work environment is not as toxic? Because truth be told, at times, the toxicity doesn't come from above. It comes from the same level.
Yeah, exactly. That's why we're saying it's a two-way street. So to answer your question there, I can almost use a scenario. You wouldn't go if you were feeling sick and go and sort of do a diagnosis on yourself and decide what you believe is wrong and go and get medication according to your own diagnosis if you don't have it at the very least some kind of a doctor's degree. Right, you go and see a professional. You go and see a doctor that would look at you from outside and say, this is what's wrong with you and this is what you need to do to start fixing it. In the same way, many organizations are not equipped and don't have the knowledge to take care of this themselves. So the first thing I would say to an organization is invest in an expert that knows what they're talking about to come and measure for you where is it happening? Where is this toxicity? What is causing it? And then to assist you, because most organizations, that's why I mentioned the six things here, most organizations I've dealt with really only think burnout comes from workload. So they look at, okay, how can we lessen the workload? But actually the research shows that many people love work, a heavy workload. They love working hard. They love coming in and being pressured and being challenged. But it's the other areas we need to look at. And these things are difficult to do if you don't have the education and you don't have the awareness on what to look out for. Because what you'll tend to do is you'll just tend to look at the areas that you believe cause it and you'll miss all the other important things. So I would definitely say what organizations, as you said, you know, we don't want to go into too much detail because we don't have the time, but generally what I would say is as an organization, if you are experiencing people with a lot of burnout, and how do you see that? You'll see it in a high turnover rate. That's one of the first clues.
Sure.
When you have staff coming and going and coming and going, you'll see it in the high absenteeism. You will see it in a reduction in productivity. All of these are signs. If you see things like that happening, getting somebody who knows what to look for so that they can help you as an organization to pinpoint where is it coming from, what's causing it, and what needs to be done to fix it.
Sure. Stanley, we are flat out of time. I could speak to you for 27 hours back to back nonstop. Unfortunately, we only had less than an hour, and I'm hoping that we can have an opportunity in the future to discuss this issue further, but we've only scratched the surface, I hope. Thanks for making time. Thanks for your insights, and thanks for investing time with us. And I know for sure that some difference has been made out there. Thanks for your time, Stanley.
Thank you too.
Stanley Beckett is author and consultant at Change Creator SA. We were talking about burnout being a two-way street.